Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dr. Val Jones, founder of GetBetterHealth.com. Today I'll be speaking with diabetes blogger extraordinaire Amy Tendrich about the FDA and how it could serve diabetics better. Amy, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I know that you've started a petition to ask the FDA to better serve diabetes patient needs. And can you tell me a little bit about what sparked that petition?
Sure. It's really a community effort of the diabetes community. And I think one of the big advantages in today's world is that we do have the internet to have this collective voice that we never had before. But this is really actually sort of prompted by some of my colleagues in the community, especially an analyst by the name of Kelly Close, who has a company called Close Concerns, and then a fellow blogger named Scott Stramello, who keeps a very close eye on the FDA, and then also one of the few patient representatives that actually works directly with the FDA, a woman named Rebecca Killian, who I actually interviewed recently. She is also type 1 diabetic herself and is, really on the inside and has given me a lot of insight into what's going on at the FDA. And I just think that what we all saw is the pendulum swinging towards a climate of fear and extreme risk aversion. And so what we're seeing is that the FDA's current actions are really quite anti-patient. But patients don't even know about what's going on over there because there is no real good channel of communication. So, that's what we are trying to do is fill that gap as bloggers and as sort of, advocates.
So, in your opinion, what has led the FDA to be so risk-averse?
So, from my own observations and also conversations with experts, including Rebecca Killian, who's really on the inside, the whole thing is prompted by kind of a climate of fear, that we're in the post 9/11 era, and this deregulatory environment. It's created a very tough environment for the FDA. So of course it's difficult for them to please anyone or everyone. But also there's the fact that this country is so litigation happy. Everyone's always trying to cover themselves. But I think we feel that this extreme risk aversion is being boosted in a large sense by sensationalism. So, the mainstream media is very corporate-driven. They tend to dramatize things. They come out with these headlines, diabetes drugs will kill you. And, Dr. Steve Nissen has essentially been riding this wave, for his own agenda. I mean, he saw a concern. He wrote an article. He got a lot of attention and sort of capitalized on this movement. And what we're trying to do is, counteract that to a certain degree and get patients to speak up that, we don't want them to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so we as patients are trying to get our voices heard.
Now, about Steve Nissen, he suggested, and I'm sure the diabetes community is quite upset about this as I am, he suggested that we don't need additional diabetes drugs, that the ones we have are sufficient. What's the word on the street about that?
That's ridiculous. That's like saying, we have diabetes all figured out. We don't need any more research or innovation in treatment, and clearly that is not the case. He has said that we need better drugs, and we absolutely agree with that, but, that also means more drugs, and it also means clearing the way for innovation. So, there may be an increase in cardiac deaths in some cases, with certain drugs, with certain high-risk populations, but you can't just be yanking whole classes of drugs off the market that may help a great many people just because they pose certain risks to certain groups. What you need to do is mitigate that risk. Diabetes care is really actually quite individualized, and we need to get people the kind of care where their particular specific risk factors and health situation can be looked at, and then a drug can be selected that is most optimal for that person.
And can you explain how the new FDA safety requirements could stymie research in diabetes?
Sure. I mean, what they're doing is putting what we see as an undue burden of, huge costs and the logistics of additional research on companies, which is just creating a big barrier. And as Rebecca Killian said, there's just no way that this won't have a chilling effect on bringing out, new treatments and innovations in diabetes care. So it's pretty unreasonable to require cardiac testing in phase 2 and phase 3 trials for drugs that gave off no cardiac signals in phase 1. And the question we're asking is, are we putting these burdens on other drugs? right?
Right. Because what you're saying is that if we are going to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there are any cardiac side effects, we'd have to test the drugs in tens of thousands of patients, which is prohibitively expensive in that phase of research and development for many of the drug companies, right?
Correct. And again, if there are no signals given off, I mean, it's basically just sort of throwing requirements out of left field. And, you know, other drugs could also have, you know, cardiac risk potentially. It's not reasonable to make that requirement. And in fact, it is just, you know, putting a huge barrier in the way of innovation and bringing new diabetes drugs to market.
And it is slightly random in the sense that, I mean, what if there are hepatotoxicities or, you know, renal risks or something like that? I mean, when is it going to end if you start, you know, adding all of these cardiac tests? Why won't the liver doctors rise up and say, well, hey, we don't know that this drug can't potentially injure the liver in some way, so add another 30,000 patients to the mix to see if there's any possible cause and effect relationship between this drug and your liver. You know what I mean? Like, it could go on and on and on.
I agree. And then, I mean, what people don't realize about the FDA is that it is, you know, made up of you know, researchers and experts who are very entrenched in their individual fields. And, you know, they, in some senses, they have their own agenda. But, you know, Dr. Steven Nissen, for example, has apparently, you know, stated publicly that he thinks all diabetics should be treated by cardiologists. And the rest of the people who treat diabetics are far too glucose-focused, which is ridiculous. I mean, everyone could take these, you know, drugs and sort of run off in their own, you know, field of medicine and say, well, we need to test for kidney effects, we need to test for this, we need to test for that. But, you know, putting up all of those barriers is really not serving the patient population at all. As you say, this could be leading to really in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the faults with trial design is that they often select, you know, for diabetes drugs, I'm saying, is that they often select the most high-risk patients, people who've already had cardiac events. But most of these medications are not meant for late-stage patients, you know, who have, you know, severe cardiac risks. So that sort of exacerbates, you know, the sense that these drugs are so somehow dangerous to you know, cardiovascular risks. But, you know, obviously, if there are certain high-risk patient populations, those are the wrong people to be taking those particular drugs. That's clear.
Right. And, you know, the problem with working at the FDA, I would guess, is that, you know, if one bad thing happens to one patient ever, you can lose your job. But if millions of patients benefit from a drug, it doesn't affect your job, you know? So it's a weird
Correct.
Position where they become so risk averse because, you know, obviously we don't want a thalidomide issue, but anything that could potentially be, you know, slightly harmful to certain narrow groups of patients is scary for them, I suppose, from a job safety perspective and from their reputation and so on and so forth. So they become, you know, it's sort of like their bottom line is no one can ever potentially have a negative side effect, period, you know. And then what happens is that the patients are denied access to medications that could help the majority of the appropriately chosen patients for that drug. So it's
a tough
situation.
Right. I mean, then the comment that Rebecca Killian made was, you know, if you take Avandia, you know, off the market, I mean, and people start dying from diabetes in much greater numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, who does that help? You know, there are obviously certain high-risk patients with certain markers who really should never have been on that drug in the first place.
Yeah.
But as you say, there may be, you know, great numbers of diabetics who are actually benefiting. And, you know, just to sort of try to you know, thwart any kind of progress is really not in the interest of the patient population whatsoever.
Now tell me a little bit, talk to me about what you think patients should understand about the risk-benefit ratios of the medications that they take.
Well, I mean, I have to preface this by saying I am not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor
sure.
or a diabetes educator. I'm just a patient who's very, you know, very active in, you know, advocacy. And I see my role as helping to get the word out because I think that the problem is with, you know, most patients is we put this blind faith in the FDA, whether it's for mitigating risks or for promoting innovation in the right places. We just assume that they're looking out for our best interests. And, you know, as I mentioned before, in fact, the FDA is a political body, and most of the decision makers are researchers or experts with their own agenda, and they're very ivory tower, the way I understand it. They're not in close touch with patients' concerns or needs. And I'll give you one example. So Rebecca Killian was actually on this advisory committee for Pfizer's inhaled insulin drug, Exubera, which, as you probably know, bombed terribly. It was a $28 billion flop.
Right.
One of the most expensive failures in the history of the pharmaceutical industry. But one thing that she had said was when they came in, when Pfizer came in to do their little presentation for the FDA council, they brought a video, but they didn't actually even bother bringing the product with them. So this huge inhaler that was so clunky and difficult to use, they didn't even bother bringing it in to show anyone. They said, well, we didn't want to distract you with that, you know, with the device. It just shows how removed they are from, you know, not only was it a clunky, awkward device, but the unit's measurement was so different than what people currently use to measure their insulin that they would have to do kind of these elaborate calculations to figure out if I normally need 8 units of insulin, you know, I have to multiply it by this, that, and the other. Just, you know, not the least bit patient-friendly. So so that's, you know, one big issue is that we need a stronger patient representation and patient voice, you know, directly to the FDA. But in terms of risk benefits, I think you mentioned to yourself, zero risk is not an option.
Yeah.
You know, all drugs, and especially new drugs, they may have some side effects. There may be some long-term effects that we're not aware of yet. People need to, you know, talk it over very seriously with their provider whether it's worth trying something. And if your glucose control is so bad and, you know, you're otherwise healthy, then yes, it's definitely worth trying some of these new drugs. But if you're doing okay on an existing drug and you have, you know, other risk factors, maybe you'd rather just stay with something, you know, safe and known. So again, it's very individualized, and, you know, maybe sometimes you need to force the unthinkable, and that is if you're seeing a cardiologist, you know, have that person actually talk with your endocrinologist, try to get your, you know, your doctors in different fields to confer with each other about your particular, you know, risk factors for trying out a new drug.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I would love it if patients had more opportunities and more choices with being fully informed about the risk-benefit sort of analysis that their doctors are making about each individual drug that they're using. And I would love them to be involved in the conversation so that they know that no drug has zero risk, but there are some benefits that make, you know, the risk worthwhile in a lot of cases. I just would love to have the patient more involved and doctors, you know, bringing them into the conversation.
And, in the case of diabetes, I mean, the risk of not taking drugs is really, really high. If you choose not to treat your diabetes, your risk of having all these complications is so extremely high that, you know, it's definitely worth taking certain medications, but people do have to understand that there are certain risks associated with those medications. None of them are 100% safe and effective without any side effects or any long-term, you know, effects that could possibly, you know, be revealed. So, you know, people need to understand that definitely.
Yeah. I have one final question. In a perfect world, what changes in FDA policy do you hope the next commissioner will make?
Well, so exactly. That's the whole point of this petition is that, you know, we're saying whoever the new FDA commissioner is, we're asking that person to consider essentially three things. Number one, kind of removing these excessive research hurdles to sort of pave the way for new drugs and innovations. And, of course, you know, we want them to, you know, have safety in mind and to issue warnings where necessary, especially for high-risk groups, but not to put up excessive hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, help rather than hinder the acceleration of new treatments and technologies that can add to quality of life now. And that also means devices, you know, and it's important to underscore the medical need for these things so that the insurance companies will have reason to cover them. And with that, of course, I have in mind continuous glucose monitoring, which are a new set of devices that have a huge potential to help people with diabetes, and yet they're not underscoring the medical need for these devices, and the insurance companies are pushing back really hard on the cost because it's a big short-term cost, although the long-term, you know, effects could actually be extremely beneficial. The final thing, and this is basically accomplishing, you know, to accomplish these things, we're asking them to put together a diabetes advisory council that would not just be researchers, but actually more in the trenches, experts, advocates, and clinicians. So, you know, more direct patient representation and also clinicians who are really in direct contact with the patient community and understand kind of the needs and concerns much more closely.
If you're interested in signing this petition, where do you go?
So we have authored a petition and a letter that backs it up titled Ask FDA to Better Serve Diabetes Patient Needs, and it resides on thepetitionsite.com, and the title of it is Heal the FDA. We will post the URL at Diabetes Mine and, of course, on Dr. Val's site as well.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Amy Tendrich of DiabetesMine.com. This is Dr. Val Jones, founder of GetBetterHealth.com.